I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I'll share just a brief word with you, and I want to read a couple of passages here, and then I'll share something with you in the New Testament as well. But in 2 Samuel, the story is this. The nation of Israel has been in great battle against their enemies. Saul, who was the first king of Israel, has been disobedient to the Lord. And so consequently, it's already been prophesied that God would turn that kingdom over to David. And in a great battle, David, or Saul rather, who was king of Israel, he and his son Jonathan were killed. Now, Jonathan was a very special friend to David. Saul, the king, was jealous of David because he realized that God's hand was upon him and that he would someday be the king. But Jonathan, the son who would be the rightful heir of the throne, had befriended David. And in a great battle with the enemies of Israel, both Saul and Jonathan were killed. And I want to read to you just a little bit of the emotion in the heart of David. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bade them to teach the children of Judah to use the bow, and behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashron, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gibeon, let there be no dew, neither let there be any rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for their shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though it had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain and from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan are lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they are not divided. They were swifter than eagles, and they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with scarlet and with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me is wonderful, passing the love of a woman. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of the war perished? David's heart was broken because of the death of King Saul and his son Jonathan. These were men who died in battle, who were defending their country. And he himself is brokenhearted, and he calls his nation to recognize and remember what they did and their sacrifices. As I was thinking about Memorial Day today, and you always want to try to do something or say something a little different, I look back through, and this in August, I will have been pastoring 50 years. I've been preaching about 51 years, but in August, I will have been ordained to pastor for that long. But I look back over just the last few years, the last 18 or 20 years anyway, it seems as if I've said the same thing every year. And I thought, to be sure, I ought to be say something different. But then I got to thinking, no, I shouldn't say anything different. Because it's not so much about what the big things we say, but about the people we now remember. We remember several things in regard to them. I want you to remember as you think about Memorial Day, and I know it's a day that, like so many things else in our country, that patriotism took the back seat to. It's a big time of commercialism, big time of vacation and all of that. But somewhere today and tomorrow, I want you to remember not only those who've died, but those who are currently serving. I want you to remember in the first place, I want you to remember their service. David is talking here about Saul, about all that they did, how they fought in battle. They did not flee the battle, they died in battle. And they gave their life. And those who've gone on before us, who died in military, who died in war conflicts around the world. They have given a great sacrifice, but their service to their country, there's a reason they did what they did. It's much like Philip Ryman said when he looked at that young couple and their two small children. He said, that's the reason I did it. I did it so they could live. I did it so they could have a life. And so I'll challenge you to remember their service and certainly remember their sacrifice. They paid that debt. Ricky gave me something written by Ronald Reagan a moment ago, and I think in the last little video you'll get to hear it. But he simply said this. He said, the young men and the women who died serving our country in military, they died two deaths. They died the death that they were living, but they also died a death to what they could have been. They died a death to become parents or to become grandparents or whatever they would have been and whatever they could have done. That part of their life was gone and sacrificed. So they sacrificed the life that they were living, but they also sacrificed the life that they would have lived. And then we certainly want to remember their survivors. Take opportunity in some way to express your love and appreciation to family members and those who've died, and those who are currently serving. Please keep them in your prayers and remember them and ask God's blessing on them. I want to turn over to a passage of scripture in the book of Luke, and it is in regard to our Lord, because we're thinking now about those who have died for us. And while there are wonderful examples of that in the cemetery in Arlington or in the cemetery in Luxembourg or in military cemeteries around the world or in private cemeteries of loved ones who've been buried who served, our Lord Jesus Christ in all things is the supreme example of service and sacrifice. You remember in book of Luke chapter number 22, our Lord is to the point that he is praying with his disciples just prior to going to the Garden of Gethsemane and just prior to his arrest and betrayal and his crucifixion. And in that time in that room with his disciples just prior to going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And there's a statement or two that I thought about as I was thinking about Memorial Day. And we observe the Lord's Supper as a memorial of our Lord, remembering what he did. Notice in chapter 22, verse 19, and he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And then quite often, I always, when I'm dealing with the Lord's Supper, I share with you from what Paul said in the book of Corinthians. And he said in regard to our Lord, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he'd supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Here our Lord is saying, there is a memorial to me as well for his sacrifice. These that we've talked about this morning, and we honor them, and we don't take anything away from the honor we've given to them. But for me and you who are Christians, we'll remember the supreme sacrifice paid by one, our Lord, who loved us. Like military young men and women who left their homes, he left his home in glory. He was with the Father before the foundation of the world, and he came and he became a human being. He was clothed in a human body. And the book of Hebrews said, a body hast thou fashioned for me. And the Lord Jesus Christ took on flesh, God incarnate in human flesh. And he did not come to live. He did not come to have a home. He did not come to have a business. He did not come to have an education. He did not come to have a family as such, although he has a wonderful family now. But he came for one reason. That one reason was, he said, the Son of Man has come to give his life a ransom. He came to sacrifice and to die for me and you. He came to give his life that we might have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give that supreme sacrifice, to lay down his life for us. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. I think about our military personnel in the VFW post, and then all those who are in the veterans' hospitals, and occasions when I've had to go over to Fayetteville or up to Durham to the veterans' hospital and to speak to the veterans and see them there and see their bodies broken. And I think, you know, God's allowed me to have a body and all of my members and able to go and do and anything I want to do. And these men were willing to sacrifice and so many things, their broken body. And I think about our Lord. You know why He suffered? The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, he said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. All of those wounds inflicted on the body of our Lord, the broken body of our Lord, was for me and you. He suffered all of that for us. And then ultimately, He said, this blood, this cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. He gave His life. He poured out His life's blood. My dear friend, He suffered and bled and died so that you and I could have life. I thank the Lord for every person who served in the military, for all those who've been sacrificed, who sacrificed themselves so that you and I could be free. Please don't take it for granted. And please acknowledge them and let them know how much you appreciate them. And I'm thankful that because of that sacrifice, as a young boy over here in Roanoke Rapids, I had the privilege of hearing the gospel. I didn't grow up in a land of bondage. I grew up in a land of freedom where people could go and preach the gospel. And because of what they did and the freedoms we now have, I was able to hear the gospel and I got saved. And I fell in love with somebody named Jesus. David said of Jonathan, he was lovely. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, He's altogether lovely. And He said His love was past that of even a woman. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved us with an everlasting love. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus loved you. Nobody ever did for you what Jesus did for you. He gave His life a sacrifice. But the story doesn't end there for Him and for all our military personnel who were saved. It didn't end for them in a battlefield somewhere in Vietnam or Germany or the Philippines or somewhere else. They went home from there to their real home. They went to a home in heaven. And now they're awaiting us to be there to join them. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He suffered and bled and died, He didn't stay in that grave. He came out of the grave. He is alive forevermore. And thank God that He's there in heaven. And when we get saved, we know that heaven's our home. We'll not only get to see Him, but we'll get to see our loved ones who've died, whether they died in conflict or whether they've died of disease or whether they've died of some accident or natural causes. We'll get to see them again because Jesus loved us and died for us and gave that supreme sacrifice for us. And while we're remembering all of our troops, and there's no way we can honor them enough. There's not enough words to be said to show our appreciation for them and for what they're doing, and for these two young men in the service today, for their sacrifice and what they're doing now. But we thank the Lord for them. But let's not forget the one who did the greatest sacrifice for us, because what He did for us did not buy for us just earthly peace. It bought for us eternal peace. It didn't just give us a home to live in here in a place of freedom, but it gave us a home in heaven where we'll get to be for all eternity. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, if you do not know Him as your personal Savior, that you trust Him right now, that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. When I was talking to Philip Ryman, that Navy SEAL, he talked about all the things he'd seen, all the carnage over all the years that he'd been a Navy SEAL, all the hardship he'd been through. And he said it just about got to him, but he said somewhere, I forget what it was, 1997, I believe he said, he found something far better than anything he'd ever done, and that is he found the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the rest of his military service, he said, I was able to serve, and he said, I was always committed to serve my country, but he said, God gave me a new purpose, and that was to serve Him. And while I was serving my country, I served Him. Brother Danny and I have got a good friend. He's a good friend of this church. He's been here before. Brother Jimmy Fallon. He's a veteran, and he wears his veteran hat proudly. But he said he wears it, and people come up to him and thank him for his service. And he's appreciative, very appreciative for that. But he said it's a great witness, too, because when they come up and say, Jimmy, thank you for your service, he said, thank you so much. I was willing to do it. But I want to tell you, there's a greater service. And that was the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. When He suffered and bled and died, that I might have everlasting life and that you can have it too. And I want to say to you today that you can have everlasting life. I want you to bow your heads for just a few moments. And Brother Linwood, I think what we'll do is we'll just have someone to come. Brother, are you going to sing, Brother Ricky, an invitation? Miss Juanita, if you don't mind, come for just a few moments and just play. We're going to have another video in just a moment. It doesn't run very long. But before I do that, I want to give opportunity to Miss Juanita to just play something during the invitation here for a moment. I want us to stand together for just a few moments. And first of all, once again, I'm going to ask you to do this. I want you to thank the Lord for all our veterans here in the building. Thank the Lord for these two young men that are active duty right now. And ask God to put a hedge around them and protect them and their families. Pray for our veterans and pray for them. And then we had several family members to stand who, loved ones who have been veterans and they're no longer with us, and we want to remember them in prayer. Ask God's blessing on them. And then certainly for those, Ms. Esther was here representing a family member who died in service of this country. For our military around the world and all those who join us by the media, we want you to know we love you and we're praying for you. But right now, I want you who are Christians to do something else. I want you to remember what He did for you and thank the Lord Jesus Christ on this Memorial Day Sunday, remembering what He paid, the sacrifice He paid. He left glory, clothed Himself in a human body, suffered extreme torment and pain, abuse, and suffered and bled and died on that cross. And the Bible says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and for dying for us. Thank you for what you did. Now, I don't say to you this morning, if you're here, a man or woman, a boy or girl, you're very thankful, I know, for your military service. Whether you appreciate it or not, whether you ever acknowledge it or not, you're receiving the great benefits of what a generation before you did. And you ought to take time to thank them. But Jesus Christ loved you before the foundation of the world. And He suffered and bled and died so you could have life everlasting. And this morning, if you're not saved, He wants to save you. He came so you could be born again by the grace of God. And all you need to do, my dear friend, is turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd invite you right now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, and you'd say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. No one's looking, but would you raise your hand and allow me to pray for you? If I died right now, preacher, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. Anybody like that in the building? God, the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. Would you do that? Let us pray for you this morning. Our Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for those who have served our country, especially for those who have prayed that ultimate sacrifice, and Lord, for their families that were left behind. I pray, God, for them. Many in generations past, some in recent months and years across this nation. Perhaps even today there'll be some message sent, our Father, to a family that their loved one has died in service of our country. Oh, God, I pray already that God, the Holy Ghost, is preparing their hearts, and God, that you'll bless them. Thank you, our Father, again, for our veterans who are here. Thank you for what they've done, men and women, to serve this country, to give us freedom. Thank you, Lord, for the family members of veterans who passed on. And God, for these two young men, I pray your blessing on them. Put a hedge around them and keep them safe. Bless their families. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.